The overall report of expenditures to date through the first two quarters, the first 6 months of this current fiscal year. Any questions?
This is Wayne from DVS. The expenditure report, the Excel document that sort of shows what the expenses have been, I don't recall if previously that had been shared quarterly or if we were only receiving that annually. I felt that that was a helpful tool to be able to also see visually. I'm a visual person. When it comes to numbers, it's helpful for me. So I'm just curious if there are any plans to continue to share that along with the minutes in the future.
So yes, I would say I think it's our intention to distribute the quarterly budget update, into the future.
Chris, it's Barbara Clunan. I just wanted to, I did not hear whether Elise was there to speak to the OKIL report, but I would just say that due to the pandemic, it's been very difficult to deliver any services because of the outbreaks of COVID in different group homes. I know Peter's group home just came off quarantine, and other group homes, are going through the same thing. So I'm hoping that the next 6 months improves so that they will be able to get people out more and use the funding that's allotted to them.
Yeah, that's great to hear, Barbara. We can reach out to Elise and certainly encourage her to come to the next meeting. And certainly anything that you can do to encourage, the adoption of, some plan that would involve, their stepped up use of the funds would be great. They do have a little over $38,350 allocated for services for the remaining, nearly 6 months, 5 months plus of this calendar year.
Yeah, I will do that.
Hannah Kyla here, Chair. I'd like to make a suggestion. I know there was a time when my brother was in a nursing home, and they suggested perhaps Zooming, if it's possible, someone can set up to speak with relatives. Someone has an iPad or a cell phone, they can communicate with the relatives. If they cannot meet in person, that might be something that they can still use to communicate back and forth rather than be totally isolated from connecting with family members.
Now, that's a good suggestion. It would not work for Peter, but it might work for some of the other deafblind clients on the list. I actually, Kathy wasn't able to attend the meeting today because she's going away, but I did speak with her, and I don't know if her client, her people she's...
Right. I think I've lost you.
You
looks like Barbara's screen has frozen.
Okay. Okay, well, are there any questions so far? Okay, Chair, Anna Tyler here. We will be moving forward with 3B, Deafblind Advisory Board Meeting Communication Protocol. Ms. Lassen, can you explain that?
I believe that's that Pat Clark provided that summary in the very beginning of the meeting. Is that right, Pat?
That's what I thought. That was in the B. That's why I'm following
right.
your outline here.
Yeah, I think we
all right.
we moved that to the beginning of the meeting.
Got it. Very good. Then we go to C. Meeting date for 2022. Review. Next meeting will be April 26th, then July 26th, and then October 25th. Is there a review that we need to speak of? Chris Lassen?
No, I just wanted to remind everyone that that we only have one meeting left in this this coming the current fiscal year, and if there's any work to be done, between now and our wrap up meeting in April, if folks have suggestions, they should certainly bring them up at this meeting, because we would have some limited opportunity to still take action in April. So that's why I thought it would be worth reviewing that. I did.
Very good.
I also did, if I can, Hannah, want to ask Andrew Norton a little bit about the protocol of having Cherie Burns, be seated as a member of the committee. It's somewhat complicated because I think that, we had Lisa Flaherty Vaughn serving on this steering committee, this advisory committee, I beg your pardon, to represent the Deafblind Association of Connecticut. But I wondered if Andrew could speak to that. And I don't think we've received a resignation from, that I'm aware, from Lisa Flaherty Vaughn, and maybe Andrew could speak to this, but I think in order for us to seat Cherie, we might need to have an open seat on the committee. Andrew, are you able to speak to that?
Yes, but I may not be able to speak perfectly. I have just now been looking in my records for the bylaws of this committee, but I don't find them. So I will start by asking, not right now, but if Anna or you, or maybe Barbara, having been chair before, might have in their possession the bylaws of this group. The regulations affecting this group, and I'm just now going to search for those in the quickest way I can. And I know I sent something recently. The regulations are, one, old as heck. They come from the early 80s, but the regulations would be what controls. The statute creating this program simply says that we should be spend up to $10,000 to help people. It doesn't lay out the system that we operate under. The regulations say, and just for the heck of it, I'll read them because they don't take that long. Official membership shall include an administrator from BSBB, a board member from BSBB, and the agency coordinator. So those are three BSBB spots. A representative of Oak Hill, someone from DMR, mental retardation, but now developmental services. It's again old. Someone from the central office, someone from Southbury, and someone from Mansfield. That's how old this is. Mansfield closed down a generation ago, but it's still in there. A representative from the Commission on the Deaf and Hearing Impaired, which doesn't exist anymore. A representative from the New England Regional Center. And then 1/3 of the members shall be parent representatives, including a parent of a Southbury client and an Oak Hill client. And then invite people from the American Foundation for the Blind and the Helen Keller Center. So those are the outlines, just to refresh people's memory. But I know, as I recall, Chris, you may remember, or Anna, I think when Lisa Clarity won, because I remember discussing her membership, people weren't sure what to do. I may need to see the bylaws, and I'm so sorry that I don't have them at hand. But I would think, pending seeing them, that it would make sense to get a letter of resignation from Lisa Flaherty Vaughn if she wants to, because she's no longer president of the Deafblind Association of Connecticut. And then, since Lisa was put on for that reason, maybe the board would want to put Sherry on. I'm not going to tell the board how to vote. But that's obviously a possibility. So I don't know that we have a limit in the number of members. Again, I'm stuck. I don't have the bylaws. But under law and under regulation, there isn't a limit. It just says that these are certain members you must have. It doesn't say, and no more. You can't have any more members than this. It doesn't say that. So I don't know that there is a limit on the membership, so I don't know that you have to wait for Lisa to offer resignation before you could put anyone else on, including Sherry, if you chose. So I'm going to keep searching for the bylaws, but I think when Lisa was put on the board, it was done through a vote. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes.
Now, yes.
Do you have a quorum today? Which would, again, I'd need to see the bylaws once again.
Yeah.
But in general, a quorum is at least half or 1/2 plus one. Sometimes boards do it differently. Some boards will say that a quorum is a half, and some will say it's 1/2 plus one. And I don't know what the current, I know I've listened to Chris read off the members, but I didn't count. So I don't know whether you have half of the members. And I don't know that you're in an all-fired rush. But I don't know whether you could take a vote today on anything. I don't know whether you have a quorum. But
this is Pat Clark. Andrew, hold on one.
Yes.
Just want to switch the interpreters. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Who's this new interpreter? I don't recognize her.
Which one?
There's Owen, something like this. Anyway, she must be new. in any case, but thank you for telling me to pause. So I don't know whether I would advise the advisory committee to vote on a new member today. One, because I need to see the bylaws. Two, I don't know if you have a quorum if half the members are present. Do you know, Chris, if half the members are present?
So I'm doing the toting up quickly.
But in this particular case, I guess I might advise waiting to the next meeting. I think that will probably be soon enough. I don't know if other people have different views. I don't know.
Yeah,
but it might make sense for us to try to get hold of.
Bless you.
I don't know what the sign is. Oh, I just saw it. There, oh, there's the sign for a sneeze. that's a good ASL. I don't know, but I might advise waiting for us to get our ducks in a row. Maybe to see if Lisa is resigning, and maybe to make sure there's a quorum at the next meeting.
Yeah, we would seem to be a little under 50% of the voting members present. Yeah.
Then then I would say that I don't think you can take votes today. You can certainly discuss anything you want, but I don't think you can take votes. So in this case, whether you would appoint a member, I think has to wait till the next meeting.
Chris and Andrew,
yes.
Kyla Brown, Ogilvie, and Alan Gunsberg both have comments they would like to add.
I'm ready to stop.
I was wondering when. Hi, this is Alan Gunsberg. I was wondering how old the bylaws are, when they've been, when the last time they were renewed and refreshed and looked at by this committee. And absolutely, wouldn't it say in the bylaws what a quorum is for this committee? You're on mute, Andrew.
Thank you. Are you done, Alan? Should I respond?
Thank you.
That's why I'm saying, God, I'm really ashamed that I don't have the bylaws in front of me, and I'm searching for them, and I can't find them. Maybe they're not in my possession. So I'm shouting out to the world, if anyone has the bylaws, please email them to me if you have them. But I would say that I shouldn't swear to this. Usually bylaws call for at least half or half plus one of the current membership. There may be exceptions to that, but I would be surprised, not shocked, but surprised, if the bylaws, when we found them, didn't require at least 50% in attendance for a quorum. So with that hunch, whatever you want to call it, it would be my advice that you're not in a position to take votes today. Alas.
But what do you think of updating the bylaws?
That's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea at all. So they can always use, unless they're only a year or two old, then they, and I bet they're a lot older, that might make sense. I mean, I don't think that you guys have been hamstrung in the past. I know at one point when they were discussing Lisa joining the board, there was a little bit of confusion about what to do, but I will say the law and the regulations don't restrict you on a particular number. It just does say it wants a healthy representation of parents based on when this thing all started. It was about, you know, Southbury Kids. Based on, you know, how this whole thing got started with Southbury and Mansfield's parents. So there's that. But I don't think there's a... So I think we decided that Lisa could be added, and I'm sure you could add her successor if you so chose. But yeah, you're right, Alan. It wouldn't be a bad idea to dive into the bylaws and modernize them or freshen them up.
Thank you.
Okay, this is Hannah Tyler, Chair. I think that will be a great idea to update it, certainly. Especially, you mentioned Mansfield's no longer there. That should be updated at least yearly.
Hannah, Tara is still waiting to be heard.
Okay, go ahead.
This is Tara speaking. So I just wanted to share that when my predecessor left representing HKNP, even though I was a quote-unquote shoo-in, we did have a vote to bring me in. So I think we do need to have that vote. But I also agree that we should probably update the bylaws to include deafblind consumer organizations, you know, DBAC along with DBSAN. And then also I'm assuming that we can have deafblind representatives, like deafblind community representatives, but perhaps they wouldn't be voting members. So that's also something to consider, is even if someone's not affiliated with a consumer group, can they still be part of this board if they just represent a person who is deafblind? And then also, I just have to leave at 11 o'clock, so I wanted to say goodbye to everyone and apologize for having to leave early in the meeting today. Thank you.
This is Barbara. Flynn and talking. Somehow or other, I've been disconnected for the last 5 minutes till I got myself reconnected, so I kind of missed out on the discussion. But I believe the bylaws have been updated at some point to eliminate the Mansfield connection and to add other participating community deafblind programs. So it's still a good idea to look at that, but I believe we've never had any problems voting somebody on who was taking the place of someone else, but I still think we probably need to wait till we have a quorum to do that.
Okay, this is Chair Hannah Tyler. Was there another person that wanted to make a comment?
Yes, I believe Sherry Burns wanted to make a comment.
Hold on, go ahead.
Yes. I apologize. I did not realize you were unaware of the change, and I was unaware of your rules. So I did want to apologize for that confusion. DBAAC, we have an election every 2 years, and it's been, for the most part, it's been the same person every 2 years. And I did not, of course, was not aware of that. I should have emailed. But now I do understand, and hopefully we can get this worked out and have even more enhanced communication. And I will do my best to make sure I understand your bylaws.
Anna Tyler here, Chair. Are there any other comments or questions before moving forward? Agenda for new business. We have BESB program updates. Any other updates that we should know about? Chris?
So, typically we look, we do have a representative from the Children's Services Program unfortunately, Mary Johns was not able to attend today. She is the designated representative and had to be at another meeting on quite short notice. And Crystal is here from the Vocational Rehab Program. And I don't know if, excuse me, if there's any report from VR, other than I do know that VR and adult services are both working with two clients right now who are active both in the adult services independent living program and in the vocational rehab program, and who are persons with deafblindness who are being served by both programs right now. So I didn't know if Crystal had anything to add to that.
I don't have anything to add.
Okay.
Thank you.
But I, as the supervisor of the adult services program, it's I do want to report that it's been our clients have very much benefited by their involvement simultaneously in both their efforts to, you know, secure competitive employment and their work with in the adult services program to satisfy their independent living needs. So that's been a real benefit for those of us in adult services. In adult services, we've also, we did refer to one of our clients, JR, who our adult services social worker, Marjorie Santos, who's in this meeting, has been devoting a lot of time to assisting JR as he works to find a new permanent residence receive the upgraded communication device that will be a lot more functional and will enable him to replace a very, very old and outmoded device that suffered from a lot of periodic breakdowns, so much so that we tried to have two of them on hand, one in the stock room as an oft-needed replacement when his own device broke down. And Margie has worked very closely with both Arlene Lugo and Muriel Aparo at the Tech Act project in the Bureau of Rehab Services. So we've really benefited from, you know, our close collaboration, as I said earlier, both with the VR program and with our sister agency, BRS representatives, who've been extremely helpful. So I didn't know if anyone had any questions about programmatic issues to do with one of these three programs before we went on to our next agenda item. So it sounds like you would be up now, Hannah. Report from the chair.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Hannah Tyler. I don't have anything to report. I can just say I'm one of the recipients of the Technology Act. I have my iPad, and I am grateful for keeping in touch. I'm glad I have that backup because my laptop is not doing too well, very slow. My printer stopped working. So this keeps me in touch with the world. So I'm very grateful for that particular program, and I thank you very much. Next on the agenda, I would like to say any announcements that people would like to mention.
I have a couple of things I've been wanting to talk about. This is Barbara Clunan again. First, welcome to the new interim director. Delighted to have you here. And I was unaware for some time that Ryan had retired. So there apparently was no announcement that was sent out, at least not to the committee itself, to say that he had retired. I had heard it through someone else and not till December. So I was thinking that it might be appropriate for us as the Deafblind Advisory Committee to send him a note saying how much we appreciated his leadership through all these years. It has been some time that he has been the director, and of course he was always at our meetings and advising us along the way. And I don't know how many years it's been, but it's been a long time. I've been around a long time, so I know it's quite a few years. So I think at some point it would be appropriate for the committee to send him a note just saying, you know, we appreciate all the work he has done for the deafblind, and for our